B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week. Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Big All-Star Weekend in the NBA. And the game was exciting for the first time in a while. Let me tell you something. First of all, I love the NBA All-Star Weekend. And here's the difference when people talk about, and this is not to pick on hockey, but you see, by looking at that entire NBA weekend, how much one league markets itself better than another. It is the difference is astounding. Now, there are reasons for that, right? First of all, hockey is more of a niche sport. Hockey is not really an American sport. Hockey wears helmets where you can't get up close and personal to the guys. The NBA is the exact opposite. It's got like, they market their stars almost to the point of being obnoxious when they market the stars. But every one of their star players is marketed to a lofty extent where they're like deity. And then you have all these brilliant athletic skills that go on during the weekend. Like, first of all, the skills competition has to go. I mean, what is so skillful about that skills competition? So if I'm the commissioner, I go, all right, we got to table that. We got to do something better than that. And so now the dunk contest may have been one of the best dunk contests ever. And I'm reading a tweet during the weekend. And the guy goes, dunk contest has jumped the shark. The best dunkers don't even compete anymore and blah, blah, blah. Are you kidding me? Did you watch that dunk contest? What those guys did, Derrick Jones and Aaron Gordon did, were like, oh, outer-worldly with the dunks they were performing. And Aaron Gordon got hosed, and my choice to win it actually won Derrick Jones Jr., the kid from Archbishop Carroll. And he shouldn't have won it, which was a sin, actually. But then you get to the game, and the game had been like kind of a track meet, and one team outscores the other, but they did it differently this year. You win quarters, and then you get the aggregate score, and then you get a target score, and it made the fourth quarter really exciting because they played real ball. They defended a little bit. They were taking charges, all that kind of stuff. They wanted to win the game, and it was fun to see those guys have fun. And so there's, you know, football has its appeal in America, and it's the number one sport for a different reason. We're all plugged into football because of the gladiator mentality. We love the collisions. And it's just part of it. It's a cold weather thing. It's a blue-collar thing. Football fans are blue-collar. And they come out, and they get a little rabid, and it's a big experience, a tailgate, the whole thing. But there's nothing, that's in my view, that satisfies more athletically than the NBA. And I wonder if people feel that way. Whether you watched that game last night, whether you watched the skills competition or the dunk competition or the three-point competition, and you didn't think that was amazing. Now, I could be, like, because I'm pro basketball, I could be, like, slanted towards that way. But I'm trying to judge this really kind of objectively. Football's the number one sport in America. You'd be hard-pressed to say that basketball isn't number two. Because of what it gives you. Because of how it's marketed. It's like a whole thing. You got guys performing. Damian Lillard's rapping. And Jennifer Hudson with the song and the tribute to Kobe and all that stuff. It's brilliant the way they do things. Do you agree, Andrew?
Yes, I agree.
Andrew Salchunas in for Tyrone today, doing a double shift. He had a trying last show, battling with the callers. And Anthony was a little, I'm gonna tweak Ant in a couple seconds here. But when you watch, did you have fun watching the NBA All-Star Weekend?
I had a blast. And it's funny because I was talking earlier about Mike Trout, because Mike Trout spoke out about the Astros players and the cheating scandal. And it's a shame that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball right now, maybe the best player of all time. And that sport is terrible when it comes to branding. Baseball is probably one of the worst branded sports out of the four majors, maybe even worse than hockey.
It is.
Probably not because it's the entire summer, but it's pretty bad because they do have the entire summer, and they're one of the worst branded sports there is. Whereas the NBA, they do a perfect job. And that's not even just the talent. That's not even just the actual play of the game. Their branding is fantastic. And then you watch the game last night, you're watching the best of the best compete, and actually compete. I know there was no defense the first half, but the second half, you're on the edge of your seat. I was fascinated last night.
It was great. I actually was watching the All-Star Weekend, and I actually felt sorry for hockey. Because these are the two sports that have to go against each other, right? For fan interest. And hockey just can't. Like, I'm trying to figure out a way that you can make hockey, like, come up close to that level as far as marketing getting excited, and you can't do it. And I feel bad. I feel bad for hockey. There's a lot of people that like hockey, and they get a little jealous because it's not as big as the NBA, but it's never going to get big as the NBA because it's not. It can't be marketed like the NBA. It can't be marketed as Americana. And the NBA somehow, even though it's like a 90% minority participation in sport, is marketed through Americana.
And you're right
about
that.
It's an amazing job that they've done.
You're right about that with the NBA versus the NHL conversation. What the NHL does have for them is a very entertaining playoff, right? An entertaining playoff format where the 8th seed, we just saw it last year, can run the table and win the Stanley Cup. So at least they have that going for them. But during the regular season, it's, unless you're into it, unless you're a puckhead, you name it, like, the NBA can grab your attention on the worst of nights where there's only like three games playing and those three games are pretty boring. You're still going to watch.
Well, let's look at the All-Star Weekend for an example. And this is not going to be a show where we go basketball and hockey, but I just made an observation last night because I started feeling sorry for hockey. I go, oh my God, there's nothing that hockey can do that can match what the NBA is doing to get fan interest. It's amazing what they have cultivated there. And so I'm looking at the All-Star Weekend. I watch the skills competition in the NHL. I don't watch the All-Star game at all. The skills competition, I think, is very exciting. But there is virtually no buzz for that All-Star Weekend. And the NBA All-Star Weekend comes around and it's blam, blam, blam. Everywhere you turn.
And it's 3 days of almost must-watch TV. Like the Rising Stars, except, you can check in.
Except the dumbass celebrity game, which I hate
with a
passion. Because I hate guys that think they can play, and they go out and play and embarrass themselves. I hate that game.
Now, really? There's always the one celebrity that's pretty good, but at the same time, if they were anywhere near these NBA players.
But here's the thing. These guys all think they're good. They all think they got a game they can go out and play a game on national TV. And I go, hey, come on. Stay away. Anyway.
Other than that, it's great.
Yeah, other than that, it's fantastic. Now, I'm going to talk about the Astros, too. But let me get to the Ben Joel thing. Because the big topic for All-Star Weekend was that they were at Ben and Joel were asked if they could play together. And the perception is that they can't coexist on a team with championship aspirations. And MB goes, I think it's BS. It's not BS. For crying out loud, we witnessed it with our own eyes. It's not BS. It's up to you guys to figure it out, but it's not BS. You haven't managed to play together except for one damn game the other night. And this leads me to my next point. This city makes me nuts with the overreaction to one game. You know, they closed out on a good note. It's like nothing ever held this team back. They played one game against the Clippers, and it's like, oh my God, look how complete they are. It's one game. Stop it. Give me a little more of that, then I'm on board. Not one game. And, oh, they're ready to win a championship now.
I don't think anybody's saying they're ready to win a championship.
Everybody's saying it. A lot of people are saying it.
Nobody's
saying
that.
Oh, my God, look, they finally figured it out. Look at Embiid and Joel to play together. Look at this guy and this guy. They've got guys off the bench now. Yeah, I'm optimistic going into the All-Star break. It's one game. You still got to show me something. Like this notion that Ben Simmons has finally conquered the demons because he attacked in one game at a triple-double. No, he hasn't. And the people that are trying to make everybody feel guilty, who are urging Ben to be more than what he is, I listen to your show. I listen to Anthony's show. All these people calling in, why don't you just leave Ben alone? I'm not going to leave Ben alone. Why should I leave Ben alone? He needs to do something more. Have we forgotten how teams will defend him in the playoffs? This is all about the playoffs. The shot is not for my personal edification that I want to see him take shots, and I don't even want to see him take three-point shots. And I was a caller on the last show saying, you got to take 8 3-point shots. He doesn't have to take 1 3-point shot. There are two ways that Ben can get by. One is attack, 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 which he did in one game. And the other is mix in some medium-range jump shots, which he mixed in one in that last game. But you know as well as I know, he's not going to attack like that every game because defenses are going to stop him from attacking by banging close towards the rim. And that's why he needs to shoot. I can't let him off the hook for that.
He's been a little more aggressive than just one game.
He has been more aggressive, yes, and he has shot fouls better. But it's not a complete process. It's not a complete where I go, oh, don't worry about him not shooting. No! I can't not worry about him not shooting because in the playoffs, I know exactly how they're going to play him. And what happens when they stop him?
Well, then he goes away. He disappears.
Okay. Well, that's
but we
what
also
I,
don't
that's
know if he's
trying
be
to avoid
or not come playoff time.
He can't possibly be aggressive. He can't be as aggressive as he was the other night. That's a regular season game. In the playoffs, they're not going to allow him to be that aggressive. So I'm not going to put my foot off the throttle of this. And try to, like, maybe people make me feel guilty about wanting more from Ben. Yes, I want more from Ben. What he does is nice. It could be better.
I get that. If he has a jump shot, he could be the best player in the game.
Well,
if
that's
he has
what
a jump shot.
That's what I'm talking about. Why wouldn't I want that?
I get that, but he's also pretty damn good with what he's got right now.
He's great. He's good, and he could be great. I watch a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's great.
Yes.
Okay. All I want him to do, you see what he did it against the Clippers? He took a step back jumper. He made it. Wasn't that refreshing to
it
you?
It was refreshing. It was also out of desperation because the shot clock was going out.
Okay, but still he had that. So if he has that, that's going to be one way to defeat how they're going to defend him in the playoffs. And Boston's going to do it, and Miami's going to do it, and the Raptors are going to do it. Maybe Milwaukee doesn't do it because they're not a great defensive team. But I want to guard against that. Why are you sold? You're another one. All of a sudden, you're sold now. Oh, Ben doesn't have to evolve anymore. Just leave him alone.
I never said he didn't have to evolve.
His game is good enough. Leave him alone.
I'm asking for a 12-footer.
It's not good enough.
It's pretty damn good the way it is now.
It's good, but it's not good enough. And there's no reason for us not to expect that he would do what he did the other night with a step-back jump shot.
Now, here's the thing. Do you expect him to change come playoff time? Because I don't. I expect the Ben Simmons that we've seen so far this year.
I don't know if he's going to change or not. My point, Andrew, is we can't just stay off him. It's, oh, we're lucky what we have because he does X, Y, and Z. Well, he can do another letter. X, Y, and Z is not enough for me.
What would the other letter be? J? Jump shot.
I can't believe you're getting soft, too, over this.
Listen.
Oh, my God. He played one game together with the center where they look great together. The best game they've ever played. They've been playing together for 3 years. I got to stop worrying? Oh, everything's good now?
Yeah, but the first 2 years, they got to the second round of the playoffs.
That doesn't mean they didn't get past.
No, I get that, but all of a sudden, this rhetoric that they won't be able to play together when they actually played pretty well with each other the first 2 years.
They did, but they didn't play well together last year, and they haven't played well together all this year.
They did play well together last year. It wasn't perfect.
It was okay. Andrew.
Yeah, they won.
We're looking at whether this team can win the East. This is supposed to be progress from last year.
Yeah, you want to see them take the jump.
It's not progress yet. I can't believe you're satisfied with it.
Well, I'm not satisfied. If they lose in the second round, I'm not satisfied. I want to see what they can do come playoff time.
It's the notion of his evolution as a player that you're backing off of. You don't have to back off it. You can still love Ben. I love Ben. I love him from day one. I've loved the guy. But it's also maddening to me that the progress that should be coming that would make this team easier to win the East still isn't there.
And it's not going to be there because he had a couple of games where he attacked.
Right. And again, I've been open about wanting the 12-footer. Everybody's been wanting the 12-footer. But I also think what he's been able to do so far without that 12-footer makes him already a great basketball player. And I want him to become elite. We talked about transcending talent, generational talent
the
before
Sixers
we started.
The Sixers aren't going to win unless he's elite.
You actually think
this team can win the East right now?
I think they could get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I like the way they match up with Milwaukee.
And one game told you this. Before they played that Clippers game, what were you thinking?
No, I was pretty down.
I was pretty down. This is what I mean.
But I
was a one game overreaction.
I was an Eastern Conference Finals team all season long until they lost that four straight, and maybe I overreacted to those four losses.
Well, if you thought this team was going to win the Eastern Conference, then I never said one.
I think they can get to the Eastern Conference. But I do think they match up with the Bucks. If that's the team they're facing.
You need this team. While they were wallowing in the sixth seed the whole year, you saw enough to say they were going to play for Eastern Conference.
Yeah, if Joel Embiid shows up and wants to play.
The way they shoot the basketball.
Yes. Well, they had a 2 3-point shooters.
The only thing I can say to you, is you're youngin'.
That's always that.
Yeah, you're youngin'. You don't have the second level wisdom
yet. All right.
We're late for a break. Let's take a break. But I'm going to say something about the Astros quickly. Since there's all this hullabaloo, I have given in. This season is not going to rest until you suspend the Astros for an entire season of baseball. I've come to that conclusion over the weekend.
What?
Yep.
Good.
It's not going to stop. It's going to go on and on and on and on. And these guys are going to get thrown at all year. And people are going to bitch and moan about them cheating. And the only way to curb it is to suspend them for an entire baseball season and have no baseball in Houston.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
a radical thing. But I came to that conclusion this weekend because people are not going to let this thing go.
Yeah.
It keeps going on and on and on. And now Houston players are coming up saying, it wasn't a big deal. And now they're getting upset that they're getting accused of being a cheater. So now you get this clash that's never going to go away. And the commissioner needs to step in. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in on a Monday show on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, we always get the, I read a couple emails that I got there during the break about basketball and hockey, as you might imagine. The people who, like, are defending their sport have come out of the woodwork.
I mean, naturally. You knew that was
going to
happen.
Yes. Anyway, it's funny, though. I'm going to read a couple. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Give your family their weekends back with a Husqvarna automower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Check out the automower in person at their showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, should the Astros be banned from baseball this season? 47% say yes, 53% say no.
That'll probably move up.
The no or the yes?
The yeses will move up.
That's what I thought. I'm surprised that it's majority no right now.
Yeah. I have a sneeze coming on, so hi.
Okay. Penguin.
Bless you.
Oh, my God. All right.
They say if you say penguin.
I've got this a couple weeks after that sinus infection. Now I got another thing.
What is it?
Well, it's this cough I had last week.
I had that too.
That has re-engaged my sinus situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm squirting this. Talked to my great doctor, Dr. Mike, over the weekend.
Okay.
And he goes, all right, it's time for something drastic. So I had this sinus bottle flusher.
Oh, I've used that before. Okay. It's the worst.
You use it. No, it's great.
Actually. I hate it.
You put the salt in it, and you flush out the sinuses. But we've taken this up another level because he's got a steroid and another medication that goes into the bottle, and I'm flushing my sinuses with a steroid and a medication.
Oh, wow.
And you like the feeling?
Like, yeah, I love it. Cleans you right out.
Hate it.
It's like when you get nose up your water up your nose when you're in the ocean.
That's the worst thing in the world.
I don't like that.
But you know it's coming, so you're prepared. There's a way you have to open your mouth, and when you open your mouth, it just goes in one, it comes out the other.
Well, there's that product.
And it flushes your sinuses completely.
Right.
There's that product you see during the commercials all the time, like during sporting events.
That neti pot.
The neti pot.
It grosses me out.
Yeah, well, see, that's overkill. All you need is the bottle, because the bottle gives disgusting. You more pressure anyway. You get the good pressure.
They show the animated where the water goes up one nostril out the other.
Yeah, so I get two medications that I get to put in this bottle with the salt, and I shake it out there, and filter it distilled water, and that's what I'm doing now.
Is it working?
Yeah, a little bit. But that was a sneeze, and a cough may be coming on a little later.
Okay. Stay tuned.
Yeah. All right, so let me read a couple of these emails. First of all, we get the hockey one right out of the chute, right? Now, what I said about hockey is that hockey is tremendously skilled. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. It's tremendously skilled. What I'm saying is you can't market hockey to the masses like the NBA does it. And there are many reasons for that. Number one, it's a sport that is not enjoyed by a majority of the populace. Number two, it's not considered really an American sport. And Americans are very jingoistic when it comes to that. And third, the helmet thing. See, I know, people say, well, football's wearing a helmet. Yeah, but football is more of Americana than hockey. When you can't see the players in hockey, it makes identification difficult and marketing difficult. It just does. Basketball's in your face. Their faces are all over the screen in every basketball game. There are close-ups. You get their expressions. You get them, what their emotions coming out against the officials, all that stuff. And so there's more of a connection with the fan base to the particular player. And that helps market it.
Yeah, but when they zoom in on the hockey players, they have a clear...
Still can't see them,
it's
no.
a clear...
No, you can't. You
visor.
Can't see
they're not wearing the black visor in the NFL.
They're still wearing a visor and wear a helmet. You can only see like half of their face. You can't really see their face.
Really?
You never thought of that, have you?
No, because I could see their faces.
No, you can't see their faces. You're a trained hockey observer who's looking for a certain face. You wouldn't know anybody outside the Flyers except for a Crosby or somebody like that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But in the NBA, you know everybody that comes off that bench because you can see what they look like. You can see them.
Well, it's also because I follow the NBA more. I don't like. I don't know. You could still see the face.
Again, you're a young guy, so you don't take it up to the second level.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
It's nothing against you. You just said you lack this experience.
All right.
In the field.
Well, then I guess my younger eyes can see the hockey players' faces.
Yeah, you really can't though.
Okay.
All right. So Steve writes in total. BS basketball bias. If you took the time to watch hockey, you would see that the players possess some big-time skill as NBA players. I didn't say anything about their skill. Did you hear me say anything about their skill?
No.
What I'm saying is, if you watched that basketball weekend and you weren't overly enamored with their display of skill athletically, then you weren't watching. You can't see that, really, in a hockey all-star game weekend. You can see it in a three-point shooting contest, in a dunk contest, and in the actual game itself. How they play the game in the air and above the rim, and it's just like it's spectacular. And hockey is grounded, and it's equally spectacular if you know hockey. All right, now here's another guy. This guy is trying to tell me that baseball... All right, hold on a second. Let me get this. By the way... The best athletes are in baseball. What? That's the athlete is at the bottom of the rung. The baseball athlete's at the bottom of the rung athletically. And this is why I played the sport. I have no problem saying that. There are heavier, slow guys that can play baseball. You don't have to be athletically inclined at all to play baseball. Now, the single hardest thing to do is hit a baseball. That doesn't mean you're athletic. their cardio shape is not as good as any of the other sports.
Yeah, Prince,
they don't have to
Prince,
run. They stand around.
Prince Fielder was a professional. Yeah,
they run occasionally. Like, if you ever see a guy go from first to third, you ever see him on third? These are professional athletes. They're gassed.
Your leg out in infield single. They're dying.
Really? So, come on. And then he goes, and baseball is Americana, not basketball. Basketball is a really terrible sport. And that's mostly because the NBA sucks as an organization. It was
why
it's the highest level ever in the NBA.
Wait, why do they suck as an organization?
He says it was good in the 1980s, but it sucks since then.
Ow.
The athleticism in today's game is so far beyond what they did in the 80s. It's not even funny.
I feel like they're very inclusive. They market their players well. I think they're a great organization.
It's a fantastic league.
Yeah.
And only the basketball hater would say something like that.
Right.
So that guy obviously is a basketball hater for reasons that we don't have to get into. I could list maybe five off the top of my head.
I was thinking that too.
But I won't go there. So let's go to the phones. Go to Thomas in Germantown. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
How you doing?
What's up, Thomas?
I keep hearing people say, I heard Max Kellerman on First Take this morning say, trade Embiid and put shooters around Ben Simmons like the Greek Freak. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I don't agree with that right now. This is going to play out for at least another year.
Okay, here's another thing I'm tired of hearing.
Well, why do you care what Max Kellerman says? Just curious.
No, okay. I'm moving on.
All right, go ahead.
No, you make me laugh, right?
Okay.
In Milwaukee, the Greek Freak, right? He has the Lopez brothers. He plays with a center. They seem to work it out. So why are they saying Ben Simmons and Embiid can't play together?
Because the centers that Giannis plays with are three-point shooting centers. They're rarely in the post. They're not posting people up. Rarely do they do that. Basically, the Milwaukee Bucks spread the floor and give him an opportunity to go all the way to the basket. But they also have four and sometimes five three-point shooters on the floor at any one time. So it behooves them to spread the ball out. And the five-man is guarded by a five-man. So if the five-man can be guarded by a five-man, that opens up a lot in the middle.
Okay, here's my last point.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying this, and I said this to my wife. I think Ben Simmons is playing possum because every game he's taking jump shots. I know nobody's in front of him, but he's like saying, this is what I can do. And I think he's going to do this in the postseason.
Why?
Because I think everybody's not expecting him to do it. His foul shot has come up.
Wait. You're saying you're saying he's going to shoot it in the playoffs?
Yes. Well, he's showing you right now.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's getting you a little bit by little bit.
No, he's not. He shot one back step 15 footer in one game the other night.
He's showing you. What does he do?
What is he showing you? He's not showing you anything as far as shooting. What is he showing you?
He takes jump shots before the game.
So what? Have you seen him do it in the game?
No. That's why I'm saying he may do it in the playoffs.
Why? He's going to flick a switch and all of a sudden you're going to shoot jumpers? Why would he not do that now?
I don't know. Keep people in suspense. I don't know.
No, he's not gonna have a religious awakening and say, now it's time to shoot my jump shots. We're in the playoffs. That is not going to happen. So, what has to happen is he has to attack, which he's not going to do every game. We have seen it now. There are games where we go, wow, look at him attack. And next game, he won't attack. So he attacked the other night. Does that mean their first game against the Nets, he's going to attack? It might, because it's against the Nets. But is that going to convince me that he's going to attack in the playoffs when they put defensive walls up for him, which have stopped him time and time again in the regular season and the playoffs? I don't expect to believe he's going to just bulldoze those fence defenses that they put there. Right, Andrew?
I think he now has better shooters around him, which is going to help out.
Uh-huh.
And even if he does, if they do put up that little fence and he attacks the lane, he can then dish it out. to guys like Alec Burks, who can actually hit a three.
Okay.
Because the guys coming off the bench already, we're not hitting threes on a consistent basis for you. Okay. Furkan had a nice few games here and there.
So you're convinced they're a good enough three-point shooting team right now?
I think they're better. I mean, they're already pretty, they were pretty good statistically. With my eyes, I know that they weren't.
Right. Let's just boil down one concept here. Will you agree with me that it is far-fetched to think that Ben is going to be able to attack when playoff defenses come around?
No, I don't think it's far-fetched. I think you're right when you say that. I think he's going to find his opportunity. He's going to take his opportunity, but I know what you're saying.
Okay, so I'm still a little worried about that.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And what I'm saying is that one game, we have a tendency that this town overreacts like nobody's business. And so the last game that they played, here is our conclusions. Ben's going to attack consistently. Joel and Ben are going to play together like that every night. And I'm telling you, as a man who's been in this business for a long time, I need more than one home game against the Clippers to come to that conclusion.
And that's fair, and that's why I'm looking at the next 27 games more so than the first 55.
Okay. Because it's a new team,
it's a new dawn. Hey, you got the new rotation, right? Big Al coming off the bench. I'm interested to see what Brett Brown does with this new team, this new rotation. Guys like Hollow Meadow aren't going to play anymore.
I agree with you that on paper, it looks like it would be better.
Yes, on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's the All-Star break right now, so we're basing things off paper. And we'll see the next 27
games. I don't base things off paper.
I am until Thursday.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. I don't base things off paper. You do.
Well, yeah, until Thursday.
Paper doesn't win.
Until Thursday. I'm basing it off paper until I see him in action.
Consistent performance wins.
Yeah, and so far...
until that, I could look at Alec Burks, and I can look at Glenn Robinson the third, and I can look at Embiid and Simmons playing together in one game, and that's paper.
Well,
that's not game-by-game production.
I get that, but I only have one game to talk about so far.
All right. I'm just telling you.
27 more to go.
I'm trying to protect you, kid.
I appreciate it.
I'm trying to protect you.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to say that this team's got no shot.
I'm just trying to protect you. You know, the youths, I try to protect them. Don't get carried away. Let's go Santino in Jersey. Santino, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Santino?
Nothing much. I haven't called in a while. I got off a little bit early today, so I wanted to call in and touch on a few things.
Cool.
I might be all over the place, but I got two questions for you, and I want to get into the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
One question. Everybody's talking about the Eagles in the offseason getting a receiver and a corner. What about a linebacker?
Yeah, they'll probably get one. It's not a priority for them.
I think so. We got Saquon. We got Zeke. Don't we got to be able to stop the run and have somebody like in the middle that they fear? No?
No, because the game has changed a little bit. I hear what you're saying about stopping running attacks. That's why they put Jenkins in the box. But they just don't value linebackers as much. The linebackers have to cover. And when you put linebackers on the field, they exploit it with little guys in patterns.
Gotcha. My next question is, do you think if Brett doesn't get us at least to the East Finals that he's out of here?
All depends on how that second series going into the East Finals would go. If they lose in Game 7 on a 4-bouncer, he's probably going to be back.
All right, but
if they lose the second round in 5 games...
I can't do another year of Brett.
You know the way it goes. If they don't have home court advantage in the second round, and they take that team to 7 games, and they lose game 7 in the other team's building.
Okay. But I'm just saying, he's had plenty of time. He's had the squad. He's had shooters. I
agree. Like, listen, your evaluation is maybe different than what the owners are going to do. I'm just telling you that, like, the owner, that might be enough for the owners to go, we're coming back with him. It might not be. I have no idea.
Absolutely.
And if they go to 7 games and lose on the road, it might save them. If they go 5, he's done.
I'm out, Mike. And my last point, Astros, I think for sure you got to, I'm agreeing with you. Suspend the whole team. Don't let them play for this whole season. Because guys is getting suspended 60 games for steroids. So how are you not going to punish them for stealing?
Yeah, now I don't know. The legal ramifications of doing that would be immense. So I don't know if it's even feasible to do it. And you have collective bargaining problems, and there'll be a fight. There'll be an immediate lawsuit. But the commissioner of baseball has wide-ranging powers. So it would be a radical thing to do. But I'm asking myself, like, what's going to stop this? Because this is going to go on all year long. Whoever plays the Astros, the crowds are going to come out and boo them. They're going to be asked about that every single game. It's not going to go away. And you got the other teams that are angry as hell, where their pitchers now are going to take it upon themselves, whether they get thrown out of the game or not. The commissioner's gone, we're not going to have any tolerance for that. What are you going to do? You're going to throw guys out of the game is what you're going to do. There's plenty of pitchers. So you can't throw every pitcher out, can you? Sure. It's a mess. And so as long as it's a mess, you know, I thought it maybe it wouldn't be a mess. It's getting to be more and more of a mess. So at that point, I think you have to act.
And it hit a high today. The face of baseball, Mike Trout, spoke out about it today.
Yeah, the only way you're going to get cred back an adequate punishment for that team is to suspend them for an entire season. And then really people can't say anything, because then you're taking money out of guys' pockets, the contrition part of it, you took baseball away from them for a year, and now the public can kind of accept that, and so can the other players in the league.
But can you suspend the entire organization? Like
you probably can't.
I would call it AAA. The AAA Houston Astros, whatever their AAA organization is, should be the team that plays.
No, that's making a mockery of the game.
Yeah, but you can't kick out an entire organization, right?
I would explore that. I don't know legally if it would fly, but I'm telling you, that's probably the only thing that you can do at this point. 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. Good time to get in. Mike Missinelli Show, 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 6:48, Mike Missinelli Show. It's President's Day. A lot of people off today. Happy President's Day to everybody. And at 3 o'clock hour, I got a little special we're going to go Penn State versus Temple. Since Sal Chunas is producing today, he's the Temple guy, so is Natalie.
Yeah.
We're going to go Temple versus Penn State, meaning me, in presidential trivia.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, for the challenge.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. How you feeling about that, Andrew?
Not good.
wait. So what high school?
What'd you guys do? Clearview Regional.
Clearview Regional.
Yes.
And Temple University. And Cardinal Dougherty.
That's right.
And Temple University. So we'll see which institutions. And of course, I was Bristol. And Penn State, we'll see which institutions taught us the most about presidential.
I had a great four years at my high school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you that I did not learn anything in 4 years of history, I'm not lying to you.
And because you didn't pay attention?
No. My sophomore year teacher, she retired a few years after I graduated. We watched movies every day. Gone with the Wind was...
Watch movies in history?
Oh, Gone with the Wind, that's historical.
Yeah, no, but that was like the... What you watched in Gone with the Wind was the test. And, like, that's all we were supposed to...
What?
Yeah. That sounds like a fun class.
Didn't you have a history textbook?
Yeah, but we didn't need to read it. The test was on the movie. I'm not kidding.
What kind of...
Her husband was big in Paranormal Activity. And, like, he was one of the first people to really hit it off and made a lot of money. So she kind of just gave up. And I learned.
Did the principal know she was just giving up?
I don't think so. Like she was 10 years.
That's
good.
That's a violation.
Yeah, it was terrible. I'm telling you.
That happens more often than not.
Really?
With tenured, yeah.
I had an earnest teacher. I mean, I went to a small public high school, but they were dedicated.
My history teacher, Mr. Dougherty, were good.
I had some great teachers.
Mr. Beck?
But then there were some that just
He was awesome.
All right, let's do something here, because I made an observation when I came in today. Natalie is... She's drinking a cup of Starbucks, and I'm looking at what do you call those things that hold a cup?
The sleeve?
The sleeve.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the sleeve, and I'm going, look at her. So like, she's gotten, like, so branded that she got her own brand of a sleeve for a coffee cup, and she had it printed out. I'm going, well, that's kind of pretentious.
So, pretentious? Well, that's so vain.
It is. And I'm going, Natalie, is that you? So show the people the sleeve. But look at the sleeve. Now, does that not look like Natalie?
Yeah, she asked me.
It looks like a graphic Natalie.
She asked me what I thought, and you're spot on.
Yeah, you first look at it, you go, that's Natalie's coffee cup that she had her own custom sleeve put on.
I made her do the smile with it right next to her face, and it looks just like her.
I didn't understand what you were saying. You were like, your coffee sleeve, and I'm like, what is he talking about?
You know how you make the emojis?
Yes, if this were...
would that look like you?
Yeah, I guess.
And I thought that was a product that you had taken it up a notch.
No.
And that was you.
No, I'm not.
Well, that looks like you. That's the Starbucks lady?
Yes, this is the Starbucks siren. No, it's just, I think it's just a close up of her face. You're not used to seeing her this.
She doesn't have the crown on.
No, it's just,
or whatever. It's
just her face.
Her face looks like you in a graphic style.
Do you think I'm entitled to some royalties or something?
You might be. I think you should go back there and say,
Should I write to Starbucks?
It's like that Seinfeld with the mannequin that looked like Elaine.
Oh, yeah.
Is naked in the window. I think you ought to go back there. All right, let's go. Brian in Ocean City. Brian, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Brian.
I think that Ben Simmons versus Joel Embiid was really shown in the All-Star game last night.
It was what?
It was really shown in the All-Star game last night.
What was showing?
Well, I think that they told the captains not to pick them, to separate them. I actually saw Ben Simmons at the end of the game slap Joel Embiid's butt, and... Joel Embiid was hanging out with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler all weekend.
Yeah.
So my theory is that Joel Embiid's going to request a trade this offseason to Miami.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Who would the Sixers get back in that trade?
Well, they probably look for elite shooters to put around Ben Simmons.
So they ask for Duncan Robinson. And Tyler Hero?
Yeah.
That's not enough for Joel Embiid.
Well, they probably asked for first-round picks.
So what you saw in the All-Star game, body language that would indicate that they don't like each other?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if we could do that in an All-Star game, because everybody's gone with their own peeps in an All-Star game.
Last night was pretty competitive, so...
Yeah. I don't know if I would read the All-Star game into that, but the Joel Embiid's not going anywhere, at least for another year. That's not going to happen. They're going to, if they don't, you know, come to the level where we expect, the coach is getting fired, a new coach is coming in to give it another shot. They're just not going to bail out on both the coach and one of those two star players.
I don't know. I think they should really think about it.
And why?
Well, based off the fit this year, it's been pretty bad. But they haven't been able to play well together. The only game I've really seen them play well together was when they finally benched Al Horford.
Mm-hmm. All right, so don't you have to ride that before you come to a conclusion? Don't you have to see what they are for the rest of the year?
They also met with each other. Clearly not a good sign. I think all signs are pointing.
What do you mean they met with each other? What's that?
Like they met with each other to discuss playing with each other.
No, they didn't do that.
They did.
No, they didn't. In fact, after that game, they were chummy after the Clippers game.
Yeah, well, that's because they finally play well together.
Well, where did they meet with each other and have it out? Where this is your breaking news?
I saw this report a few weeks ago. They're jealous of each other.
Yeah, that's breaking news? No, they're speculation that they don't like each other. They didn't meet with each other and have it out.
I think it's becoming more and more clear.
All right, Brian. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, buddy. All right, that's
God forbid Embiid and Butler hang out, kick the basketball around.
Well, Embiid and Butler are close, and now Bam's close to Butler. So Jimmy brought his new buddy with his old buddy. Nothing wrong with that. Ben and Joel ran all the time with each other. You're entitled to be with other people at All Star Break. You don't chum out with the same guys, do you?
No.
Yeah, it's your only time you can see your friends.
Exactly. All right.
He didn't like the Simmons smack on the rear end of Embiid. Brian. He didn't like that.
Maybe he thought that was an angry smack.
After that Tuesday game, that you saw, they reached the Ben made it a point to reach out to him. And, you know, you're right. Everything has to be evaluated from this point on. So we'll see what happens. Is there a better team now? Hopefully, they can play together like they play together on Tuesday. But I'm going to have to see that a lot more before I say yes. 3 o'clock hour is ahead. Presidential trivia, Temple.
Uh-oh.
Versus Woo! Penn State after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.